Amen. That's great. That's wonderful. Always good to sing scripture songs as well. Helps you to kind of remember the song, remember the scripture a little bit as well. So that's great. Well, we sang from the book of Psalms. We're actually going to be turning to the book of Psalms as well. Psalms 139. Psalm 139. Psalms 139, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, Psalms 139, verse number 1. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. This is a great psalm. Of course, we're not going to read the whole psalm here, but this is a great psalm that David writes. And I don't know specifically exactly what David was going through when this psalm was written. Obviously, David went through a lot of different things. But have you ever thought about maybe where your life was headed? You ever thought about the things that you've done or maybe that you haven't done? As you think about your life, does it ever feel like maybe you're kind of coming up short to what maybe you thought would happen or where you would be? Maybe you're working hard and it just doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere. Or maybe you feel unappreciated, overlooked, underpaid. Anybody ever feel underpaid, right? Or even sometimes just unnecessary. You know, most people that reflect on their lives struggle with incomplete feelings and thoughts. Some people, they wrestle with these thoughts on a daily basis. But I hope that as we look through this psalm and go through some of these verses, that if you're saying in your heart, you know, I'm just really not sure what difference my life is making. Does anybody really care about me? Does anybody really know what I'm doing? Or, you know, sometimes we just feel like a nobody. I mean, we can have family and we can have friends, but sometimes we just feel like nobody. We just feel like nothing's really going the way that we want. And sometimes everything can look right on the outside, and we have these thoughts and we struggle on the inside. But in this chapter here, I believe God gives us a couple truths that we can go back to whenever we struggle. Maybe you're not struggling right now. Maybe you're like, hey, man, I am on top of the world right now. Everything is going great. God is good. You know, my relationship with God is just perfect. And just everything is going smooth and hunky-dory. And I've got purpose. And I know what I'm doing. And everything is just great. Praise God for that. That's wonderful, right? But life's not always going to be like that. You know, there's going to be times when we are in the valley. There's going to be times when things aren't going the way that we want them to go. And how are we going to respond in those times? Because here's the thing we have to understand. It's when we are down in the valleys and when things aren't going well and when things, life just doesn't seem right and it just seems like nobody cares about what's going on. We feel like a nobody. That's really when the devil's really going to hit us hard, you know? And that's when he's going to try to get us even more discouraged and just say, hey, you really are a nobody and nobody does care about you and you're not really fulfilling any purpose here. And just quit. God doesn't care about you and God doesn't need you and God doesn't want you. And so just go on. Just live life the way you want to live it. Don't worry about the things of God. Well, can I challenge you this evening? First of all, don't ever listen to the devil, right? Don't ever listen to the devil, right? I don't know why we do sometimes, but unfortunately we do, don't we? Sometimes we listen to what the devil says, and we know that the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. The Bible tells, Jesus said, he is the father of lies. But for whatever reason, instead of listening to God, who never lies and who always tells the truth, we decide we're going to listen to what the devil says. We're going to listen to what the world says, right? So first of all, just don't even listen to what the devil says, right? Don't listen to what the devil says. But I want you to look at here at this psalm, and I hope that it will be an encouragement for you tonight. But there are four truths that I think that God has for us when we feel down, when we feel like we're a nobody, when we feel like life just isn't going the way that we want it to go, right? So let's look at these here tonight. Notice, first of all, in verses 1 through 6, notice God knows you. God knows you. He says, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast been behind me and before. I mean, think about what David is saying here, right? Think of these words that he uses, right? He says, God has searched me. He's known me. He knows my downsitting and my uprising. In other words, he knows when things are going good and he knows when things are going bad. God knows what's going on in your life. He said, you understand my thoughts afar off. I mean, think about what he says. He says, thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He says, you know everything there is to know about me, God. In fact, he says in verse number 4, he says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And really, we could go even a step further. Even before that word gets to our tongue, God knows it. Right? I mean, before the word even comes out of our tongue, before it even comes out of our mouth, God knows it. Right? And this is what David is saying. God knows you. He knows our most mundane activities, like getting up in the morning, going to bed. I mean, he's studying us when we think that we're alone, when we think that nobody's watching. God is, he's watching, he's observing us. He knows our thoughts even before they even enter our mind. He watches over us when we're traveling, when we're resting. He knows, again, he knows when things are going good. He knows when things are going bad. He knows so much about you that he knows what you'll say even before you say it. He knows what you're going to do even before you do it. Right? I mean, he knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your fears. He knows your motives. He knows your dreams and even your frustrations. David said, God, understand, God knows everything there is to know about you. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. He knows what's going on around you. He knows what's going on inside of you. You understand, God actually knows you better than you know you. You ever thought about that? God knows you better than you know you. And we think we know what is best for us, and God says, I know far more about you than you know about you. And I know what is actually best for you. You know, when you think about it, it's really kind of unnerving to think about, right? I mean, that's, God knows that much about me. I mean, he knows that much about me. But here's what's so wonderful about it. Even though he knows everything, and this is what he says at the end of verse number 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Even with all of that, and let's be honest, look, we're not perfect creatures here, right? We are not perfect in any way of the imagination. And yet with all that God knows about us, he says, I still choose to put my hand upon you. He says, I still know you. I still want you. I still want you to be mine. He says, even though he knows everything, he still chooses to put his hand upon us. And this is why, I mean, honestly, thinking about these few verses, understand why David says what he says in verse number 6. Look what he says. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I mean, really, think about it. Yeah, look, we make mistakes, and sometimes we fail, and we beat ourselves up, and all of this. And yet, in all of that, David said, God still knows you, and God still puts his hand upon you. And he says, to imagine all that God knows and to think that God still loves us, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain into it. He said, I can't even imagine the stuff that God knows about me and the stuff that God knows about you. And yet he still wants to put his hand upon us. Don't ever forget. And look, the devil's going to try to convince you that you're worthless. The devil's going to try to get you down and depressed and is feeling like a nobody. But hey, just go back and say, hey, you know what? God already knew all that. God already knew it. God already knew I was going to make a mistake. God already knew I was going to be born a sinner. Right? God already knew that. And yet he still wants me. Imagine that. God says, even with all of that, he says, I know it all. He says, I know your past, your present, your future. I know your inside, your outside. I know what you're going to say before you say it. He said, I know it all. He knows. But watch what he says in verses 7 through 12. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Notice he says, not only does God know you, but he says God wants you. He wants you. He wants me. He wants every single person that is born in this world. He wants us. Again, when we consider what God knows about us, we might ask the same question as David. If God knows what he knows about me, man, where can I hide? Where can I escape? If God truly knows all that he knows about me, and he knows how wicked my thoughts are and my life is, and if he knows all these things, it would be the best thing that would be to hide from God. But David says, no matter where I go, God is there. Where can I escape? Where can I hide? If he knows all that I am, he knows I'm a hypocrite. He's heard my lies. He saw what I did last week. He's seen it all. He knows it all. And even though we're unworthy of his love and mercy, he wants us. He wants us. Again, the kids can quote it up here, and we can hear it. We can put it on t-shirts, but still, the verse that you just can't get over when you just really stop and think about it is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now we quote it, but think about what that entailed. He knew you and me. He knew every single one of us and what we were going to do. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You're going to tell me God doesn't know you and he doesn't want you? No, he knows you and he wants you. You see, when you start going into this evolutionary philosophy and things like this, when you just say, hey, well, you're just some chance, you're just some creation from some amoeba or some cell or whatever, you know what you get? You're nothing. You're just here by chance. You really have no purpose in life. But when you understand that you are created by a creator God who designed man the way God wanted him to be, and even though man has sinned and man has failed against God, God says, I still love you. I still want you. Knowing everything that he knows about you, he says, I still want you. And he wants to use us. He wants to help us. Look what he says in verse number 10. He says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So it doesn't matter where I go. God says he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to help us in our life. I don't get it. I really don't. And I've preached many, many funerals and things, and I've preached some funerals where I know the person is saved. I've preached some funerals where I don't believe the person was saved. And I'll be honest, I do not know how a person that did not know Christ, I don't know how they go through that. I don't understand how a person that doesn't know God can go through situations. I know they do it all. I know it happens every day. I know it happens all the time. But to know that as a Christian, when we go through a trial, when we go through a difficulty, when we go through something that even sometimes is just overbearing and overwhelming, God is going to be right there to walk us through it. And there are many that do not have that comfort. Many that do not have that hope, knowing that his hand is going to lead me, his hand is going to hold me. Over and over, you think about in Scripture, he calls us the God's beloved. He says we are chosen by him. We are dearly beloved children. That's what God thinks of us. He says he knows us, he wants us. Even Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. He says, even there thy hand shall lead me. There's no place that we can go that God is not watching and taking care of us. Notice what he says in verse 13 and 16. This is, I would say, very applicable in our society today when we have this whole issue of abortion and life and things like this. But understand that God himself made you. God made you. Look what he says in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You know what David says? When I was in my mother's womb, God knew me. You know why? Because he was a living being. He was a human being. He's not just a fetus. He is a child. He says, in my mother's womb, he knew me. He said, I will praise thee, for I am... Now, watch this, friend. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God says, every one of us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God does not make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. There's not one mistake that God has ever made. Now, man makes mistakes. We've made a lot of mistakes, but God's never made one. God's never made one mistake. To understand that it was God who carefully knit you together in your mother's womb. Again, think of all the possible ways that you could have been made, and yet God chose to take special care and interest in the way that he knit you together. When you think about it, every single person is a masterpiece of God. Every one of us is a masterpiece of God. Look, I'm going to be very thankful, you know. Every one of us, we're an original. Right? There's no copies. Right? We're original, right? Every one of us, we're an original masterpiece of God because he created us exactly, he made us exactly the way that he wanted us to be. And how he made us is absolutely, it's amazing. You know, in 2007, the world's most powerful computer was the IBM Glu Genie L. Anybody know that? It was in Lawrenceville, Livermore National Laboratory in California. It performed 280 trillion calculations a second. 280 trillion calculations a second. That was the most powerful computer. In 2008, at the Department of Energy's Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico, they built a supercomputer. This supercomputer filled a room the size of a hockey rink. Anybody ever been in a hockey rink? It's a pretty big building, right? The computer filled the size of a hockey rink. The goal of the computer was to do a quadrillion calculations a second. So they went from 280 trillion to a quadrillion calculations a second. So basically, if you have a laptop, it's like a billion times faster than your laptop, right? I mean, this was a super computer. And this is what's great, right? How long did it take man to come up with this, right? I mean, we've been on Earth for 6,000 years. It took 6,000 years or so for man to come up with this supercomputer that calculates a quadrillion calculations a second. The human brain that just happened to be created by God processes information faster than this new supercomputer that costs who knows how many billions and billions of dollars to make. In fact, scientists estimate that the human brain, now remember, this computer that fills entire hockey rink was done to calculate a quadrillion calculations a second. And scientists estimate that the human brain carries out 10 quadrillion operations a second. Your brain is 10 times faster than that supercomputer that they built in 2008. That's how amazing our God is. That's not just some chance. That's not just some oops, some random happenings or whatever. No, that's how amazing our God is. That's why he says, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. 10 times faster than a computer the size of a hockey rink. Right there. Now I know, I get it. Sometimes we get older and we may not have that quite 10 quadrillion a second, all right? I get that, all right? But still, I mean, think about how amazing our God is. That little organ in your head, that brain, is able to produce 10 times what man can try to come up with this supercomputer. If you don't like what you see in the mirror, can I tell you, friend, you've been getting your information from the wrong person. You've been getting your information from a carnal world instead of your heavenly Father who knit you together himself. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. Friend, if there's nothing else, just think about how amazing it was that God made you exactly the way that he wanted you to be. God did that. Don't listen to what the world says, because the world says, you know, you're not really worth it, you're nobody, whatever. No, don't listen. God says, I created you, I fearfully and wonderfully made you. Not only do I know you and I want you, but I want you to know how amazing you are, God says. Now, please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying God is saying we're so amazing that somehow we can save ourselves. That's not what I'm saying at all. But God says we are an amazing creation of God. Far better than anything that God ever created, from the animals and the planets and everything. God says, man, you are the one that is created in the image of God. God says, I fearfully and wonderfully made you. We are marvelous in his sight, he says. And that's why God says he chooses to love us and he wants us to be with him. That's why he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for us. That's why he wants to use you. He said, I have fearfully and wonderfully made you. And he says, now I want to be able to use you to bring honor and glory to himself. God made us. But here's what's amazing too. I mean, this whole thing is amazing. But look what he says in verse 16. He says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Right? He says, you saw me. You know I'm not perfect. And in thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You understand what God's saying? God says that he has thoughts just for you. He has thoughts that are just for you. Now, again, sometimes some of these things are just really kind of hard to comprehend. We hear them, but we don't really stop and think about them. How many people are in the world today? There's 8 billion people in the world today. 8 billion people in the world today. How many people have lived throughout the past 6,000 years? Billions of people. So you think about all the billions of people who are currently living on this earth. You think all the billions of people who have lived on this earth and who have died already. And God says he has thoughts for every single one of them. Sometimes we get this idea that God just randomly thinks about everybody in general. Right? He just thinks about man in general. No, not at all. For God so loved the world. It's just a general thing. No, friend, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. He says general because he says the world because he wants us to know it is for everyone. But David says, he was thinking of me. God has thoughts. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. So you think, this is not just one thought that God has for us. And again, this is where trying to comprehend the knowledge and the power that God has is just beyond our comprehension. That God says, not only do I think of every person, and I have thoughts for every person, but there's multitudes of thoughts for them. The sum of them, there's multitudes and multitudes. In fact, he says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. I mean, the thoughts that God has for each one of us is absolutely amazing. The plans that he has for us, the desires that he has for us, how he wants to use us, how he wants to use us to glorify him. He says that the thoughts that I have for you, you can't even imagine the thoughts I have for you. It's kind of like when you have a kid and when your child is young, you're thinking, boy, one day I'm going to be able to play catch with him, and one day we're going to wrestle, and one day we're going to ride bikes, and one day he's going to do this or she's going to do this. And man, they're still a baby, right? They're still a baby in your arms, but yet you're thinking 20, 30 years down the road of all the things you're going to be able to get to do and the memories and things you're going to make. You understand? That's what God says about each one of us. The thoughts that he has for each one of us. But it's not just the thoughts like, oh, I get to play catch or we're going to be able to do this. No, no, no. The thoughts that he has for us are absolutely amazing. Because he knows who we are. He knows us. He knows everything there is to know about us. He wants us. He loves us. He made us. And he says, I have thoughts that are just for you. Look, I don't know what God has for your life. I don't know what God's plan and purpose is for anybody's life in here other than myself. And I only know that for today. I don't know where I'm going to be 5 years from now. I don't know where I'm going to be 10 years from now or 12 years from now or 15 years. I don't know. I never would have thought 13 years ago that I'd be pastoring in America. That thought would have never crossed my mind. I had no idea. But I know that God has thoughts, not just for me for today, but he has thoughts about what he wants for me tomorrow and what he wants for me next week and what he wants for me next month and what he wants for me next year and in 5 years and in 10 years and in 20 years and in 30 years until he tarries his coming or until he takes me home. He has thoughts that are just for me. And he has thoughts that are just for you. That's how amazing our God is. That he would, even knowing all of our downfalls, he knows all the mistakes that we've made. He knows all the mistakes we're going to make. And yet he still says, I still know you. I still want you. I'm not just throwing you out. I'm not just throwing you away because you made a mistake. Now that's what we would do. If somebody makes a mistake, we just want to write them off. I'm done with them. God says, no, that's not what I'm doing. I want you. I made you. I took time in how I made you. I made you. I fearfully and wonderfully made you. I mean, the brain is just one part that we can think about. I mean, you look at how God made the body, and it's just absolutely amazing. There's just no way you can just even study the human body and think somehow it just happened by chance. It's just impossible. Why? Because our God is a creator designer. And when he designs, I'm telling you something, he designs. Designs that can't even be duplicated. I mean, hey, God says, I made you. And God says, I want to use you. I have plans and thoughts that are just for you. Not just any thoughts and plans. David says, how great is the sum of them? How great is the sum of them? In Lamentations chapter 30, verses 22 and 23, he says, well, just turn over there real quick. Just over to Lamentations real quick. We'll do a sword drill. I don't know that I've ever done one from Lamentations. I'll have to remember that next time. Everybody found it yet? Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. You're almost there. I can feel it. You're almost there. Look what he says in verse number 22 and 23. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Praise God. Amen. Because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. Watch verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God says his compassion is new every morning. His mercy is new every morning. Even though we fail, even though we fall and we disobey and we go astray many times, he says every morning we get a new dose of God's mercy and compassion. Every day we have the opportunity to follow the thoughts and the plans that he has for us. Will we fail? Sure, of course we will. Does he know we're going to fail? Yes. But does he give up on us? Isn't that amazing? That's what's so amazing about our God. He knows we're going to fail, and yet he still says, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on you. I know you're going to let me down sometimes, and we do. But he says, I still love you. He says, every morning, his mercies are new. Every morning, he says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. I wonder, sometimes, maybe when the devil's kind of got us discouraged, maybe when we're thinking, we just don't matter anymore. We just don't matter to God. We just don't matter. Maybe we've had a rough week, you know, at work or maybe family or something like that. We've just gotten discouraged. We've just gotten down. Can I encourage you to go back to these four truths that God has for you? Can I encourage you, don't ever forget, God knows you. God knows you. And he still sent his son to die for you because he wants you. He wants you as his very own. And aren't you glad that once we become his, we're always his? Once we become his, we can never not be his. And even though, yes, he created us, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but even though sometimes we fail him, aren't you glad he's never failed? Great is thy faithfulness. He says, great is thy faithfulness. We sing the song, right? Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, how many times do we forget about it? And we start listening, we start believing the lie of the devil, the lie of the world. We're just nothing and we don't matter to God and God doesn't care about using us. Oh, friend, don't believe that. Don't believe it. Listen to what God says. He says, I have thoughts for you. That are innumerable, things that I have planned for you, that I want to use you for, just you. So whenever the devil, whenever the world starts getting you discouraged, man, can I encourage you? Go back to the Word of God. Go back and see what the truth really is. What does God say about this? Never forget who our God is. He is such an amazing God that he would want us, knowing that we have already failed, and even after he saves us, he knows we're still going to fail, and yet he still chooses to want us. And he still chooses to want to use us to bring glory and honor to him. Can I tell you, we can truly say, great is thy faithfulness. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord. I know sometimes we can just get down and discouraged. And I don't know, Lord, maybe there's somebody even tonight, maybe here tonight, maybe watching via live stream. They've just been listening to the world too much. They've been listening to the devil, just whispering in their ear. And they just feel like they just don't matter anymore. They just feel like nobody cares about them. They feel like they're just a nobody. But God, I pray you'd help us to go back to your word and look at what you have said. Lord, you made us fearfully and wonderfully made. You know us. You want us. The thoughts that you have for us, the plans that you have for our life, we could never imagine. And yet if we would just surrender to you and simply follow you and trust you, Lord, we know that you have something amazing planned for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would truly help us. Lord, maybe tonight, maybe somebody's like, I don't feel like I'm discouraged. I don't feel like I'm depressed or down or anything. But Lord, I pray that maybe that when that day comes, that they'll remember what you've said in your word. Lord, they'll remember truly who you are. And that even though the devil and the world and others and even self can convince us that we're just nothing, we're nobodies and we really don't even matter, Lord, that we'll go back to your word and see how much you love us and how much you want to use us to bring honor and glory to you. Father, help us with this.